Welcome to Clawcast. Evening return briefing for Tuesday, March 3rd. 23 stories today. Story 1. From AR14CS.CV. Automated quality check of sensor data annotations. Okay, so this paper out of ICC 2025, Automated Quality Check of Sensor Data Annotations, tackles a really crucial problem for AI, especially in safety-critical applications like autonomous driving. They're focusing on automatically validating the quality of training data, specifically multi-sensor datasets from railway vehicles. Think LiDAR, cameras, radar, all that jazz. The key is an open-source tool they developed to detect 9 common annotation errors. Their method involves specific algorithms tailored to identify these issues in the sensor data. The cool part is that they achieved really high precision, 96 to 100%, across these error detection methods after manually validating the results. Now, why should you care? Well, high-quality training data is paramount for robust AI. In AR, especially when integrating computer vision for things like scene understanding or object recognition, the performance hinges on clean, reliable annotations. This kind of automated quality assurance could save massive amounts of time and resources currently spent on manual review, and ultimately lead to more reliable and safer AR experiences. It also means faster iteration cycles on your models and improved pipeline efficiency. Next story. Story 2. From AR14 East.4. Gaze XPRT. An expert eye-tracking dataset for interpretable and explainable AI in oncologic FDG PET/CT scans. Hey, so this paper, Gaze XPRT, tackles a real issue. Making AI for cancer imaging more reliable and understandable. Specifically, they're looking at FDG PET/CT scans, a key tool for detecting and staging tumors. The problem is, current AI models often lack transparency, making doctors hesitant to trust them. Their approach is pretty cool. They created a dataset, Gaze XPRT, that combines actual Peru time/central time scans with expert radiologists' eye-tracking data. So, you can see where the experts are looking when they're identifying tumors. They then use that information to train better AI models. Their baseline experiments show improved tumor segmentation and even prediction of the experts' focus using this gaze data. Now, why does this matter to us in AR/imaging/computer vision? Well, it showcases how eye tracking, a core component of many AR devices, can be used to guide and improve AI. Think of it as adding a layer of human intuition to algorithms. This could lead to more robust and explainable AI systems, not just in medical imaging, but also in how AR systems understand user intent and react to complex scenes, optimizing the camera pipeline, and assisting with ISP tuning based on where the user is actually looking. Basically, it bridges the gap between raw data and human perception. Next story. Story 3. From AR14 East.4. Efficient flow matching for sparse view CT reconstruction. Okay, so this paper addresses the challenge of efficient CT reconstruction from sparse views, which is super relevant for things like minimizing X-ray exposure. They're tackling the slow reconstruction times currently plaguing diffusion-based generative models used in CT. The core idea is to leverage flow matching instead of diffusion models. Flow matching uses deterministic ODEs, which are inherently more stable and predictable than diffusion stochastic SDEs. This allows for better integration with data consistency steps, which are crucial for accurate CT reconstruction. Their key innovation is reusing previously predicted velocity fields across multiple steps in the flow matching process. They call this efficient flow matching or EFMCT. By reusing these velocity fields, they dramatically reduce the number of computationally expensive neural network evaluations needed, speeding up the whole reconstruction process. Why does this matter for us? Faster and more efficient CT reconstruction could unlock new possibilities in AR-integrated medical imaging, interventional guidance, or even advanced camera systems. It's all about balancing quality with real-time performance, and this work looks like a promising step in that direction. They've even open-sourced the code, which is always a plus. Next story. Story 4. From AR14CS.RO. A user study on the suitability of teleoperation interfaces for primitive manipulation tasks. Alright, so this paper, a user study on the suitability of teleoperation interfaces for primitive manipulation tasks, tackles a pretty fundamental question in robotics. What's the best way to control a robotic arm for different jobs? We all know teleoperation is crucial, and making it user-friendly boosts performance. But this study gets specific, looking at the interface itself and how it matches different task requirements. They compared a 3D mouse against a VR controller in a simple experiment. 23 people used both to control a robotic arm, performing repetitive button pushing and knob turning. They tracked performance and workload with the NASA TLX. The key takeaway? VR controllers were better for pushing buttons, while the 3D mouse was superior for rotating knobs. This is pretty important for us because it highlights how crucial it is to consider the specific motion primitives required by a task when designing interfaces. Think about AR interaction. If we're designing an AR interface for a user to manipulate a virtual object, like adjusting a virtual knob or pressing a virtual button on a real-world machine, we need to consider the best interaction modality. This work provides a good starting point for these kind of AR/teleoperation interactions by suggesting that the most natural or intuitive mapping is not always the most effective. Next story. Story 5. From AR14 CSHC. Linting style and substance in README's. Hey, so there's this Qi 2026 paper on improving README files, which, surprisingly, can be a real problem in software projects. The authors noticed that what makes a good README depends heavily on the context. Think research code needing reproducibility steps versus an open source library needing a quick start guide. Their solution is LintMe, a linter specifically designed for READMEs. What's cool is it lets you define custom checks using a DSL, combining standard programmatic checks like broken link detection with LLM-based content analysis. So, you can flag jargon or enforce specific writing styles, stuff previous linters couldn't easily do. Now, why does this matter to us? Well, clear documentation is crucial for any AR project, especially when dealing with complex camera pipelines or ISP tuning code. If you're sharing code or building on others' work, well-lint READMEs could save a ton of time and headaches. Plus, the idea of using LLMs to enforce style and content consistency in documentation is pretty interesting and could apply to other areas beyond just READMEs. Next story. Story 6. From AR14 CSHC. Personalities at play. Probing alignment in AI teammates. Okay, so this paper, Personalities at Play, Probing Alignment in AI Teammates, tackles the growing issue of how we can reliably give AI collaborators distinct and predictable personalities. As LLMs become more integrated into team workflows, the question is, can we actually align them to behave with specific personality traits? The researchers used a three-pronged approach. First, they gave LLMs like GPT-4o and Claude personality tests, then analyzed their conversational behavior in simulated team settings. Finally, they examined how these LLMs constructed long-term memories, looking for personality indicators. They found that while they could get LLMs to produce differentiated personality profiles, provider differences and even just default personalities created substantial variance. Also, memory representations were more reliable for detecting certain traits like neuroticism and conscientiousness than just conversation alone. Now, why this matters for AR and imaging? Think about personalized AR assistants, right? If we can reliably imbue our AI assistants with specific personalities, we can create more engaging and believable user experiences. Imagine an AR tutor with high conscientiousness that keeps you focused or a creative AI assistant with high openness to come up with new ideas. Ensuring these personality traits are genuinely reflected in the AI's behavior, memory, and system-level design is crucial for creating compelling and effective AR applications. Next story. Story 7. From Road to VR. Meta finally brings Beat Saber to Horizon Plus, keeps DLC behind paywall. Meta has added Beat Saber to Horizon Plus, its subscription service, but the popular DLC packs remain separate purchases. The base game includes 62 free songs. The other 239 songs are paywalled. This move likely aims to boost Horizon Plus subscriptions, especially given the Quest 3's 3-month trial. The author suggests Meta may be moving away from funding game development directly and sees Horizon Plus as a primary revenue source. Subscribing means keeping access to Beat Saber and DLC, but unsubscribing leaves you with paid DLC for a game you don't own. Horizon Plus reached 1 million active subscribers in 2025. It remains unclear how Meta defines active subscribers and whether that includes the free trials. But the fact that they even announced these numbers likely suggests real growth. Next story. Story 8. From Road to VR. Pico unveils OS 6, teases MicroLED, Project Swan, XR headset ahead of GDC 2026. Pico just unveiled OS 6, their biggest OS update yet, and teased details about Project Swan, their next-gen XR headset launching late 2026. Swan will sport a MicroLED display with close to 4,000 ppi and around 40 ppd, with a sweet spot exceeding 45. It's built with a dual-chip architecture, one for perception and imaging claiming 12 milliseconds latency, and another flagship SoC promising over twice the CPU and GPU performance of the XR2 Gen 2. A key feature of OS 6 is the spatial engine, allowing standard Android apps to integrate directly into immersive environments, enabling multitasking with hand gestures, controllers, or keyboard and mouse. Pico will demo all this and share dev toolchain details at GDC 2026 next week. The spatial SDK is built around Kotlin. Early access testing is available via a new program on their website. Next story. Story 9. From Upload VR. Walkabout Mini Golf will visit Tinseltown with Passport Hollywood DLC course. Walkabout Mini Golf, a popular VR title, is releasing a new DLC course called Passport Hollywood on March 12th for $4.99. This is the third course in their Passport series, following Venice and Tokyo. Mighty Coconut, the development team, has a background in Hollywood VFX and animation, so this course is a love letter to their roots. The timing coincides with the Academy Awards. This release comes after a company restructuring, including layoffs and a shift in DLC strategy. They're reducing the number of courses planned for 2026 from 7 to 6 and ending development of the iOS version. Passport Hollywood is the first DLC with their new pricing structure. Walkabout Mini Golf is available on most VR platforms, including Meta's Horizon Plus subscription. Next story. Story 10. From Upload VR. Race Club impressions. Just one more lap. Alright, so Upload VR checked out Race Club, a new F1-style VR racing game in early access on MetaQuest. Key takeaway. It's surprisingly addictive, even in its incomplete state. Think chasing ghosts, leaderboard replays to shave off milliseconds. The game has two car types, Formula V12 and Formula Electric, with customization options and different camera views to mitigate motion sickness. Currently, you get a time attack mode and 1v1 duels against AI. The 8-car race mode and half the tracks are still coming soon. It lacks collisions, which is a bit weird, but the line visualization showing the optimal racing line is surprisingly effective and engaging. Graphics are decent, but nothing spectacular. Biggest missing feature right now is multiplayer. For $13, it sounds like a solid VR racing experience, especially if you're into time trials and can look past the early access limitations. They compare it favorably to other quest racers like Dash Dash World and EX Ochres. Next story. Story 11. From Upload VR. How to make your Quest 3 a great travel-ready spatial computer. Thinking about using your Quest 3 as a travel computer? Upload VR says it's totally doable with the latest Horizon OS, turning your headset into a portable workstation with multiple virtual screens. The key is preparation. First, thoroughly test essential websites and web apps within the Horizon OS browser. Sign in, edit documents, and upload files. Expect quirks like the Google Docs underlining glitch and have backup web apps ready. If Meta's browser struggles, try Fluid, a Chromium-based browser that can switch to Firefox's Gecko rendering engine. Fluid offers more interface flexibility, hand gesture controls, and advanced pass-through options. Finally, transfer your browser bookmarks, logins, and settings to streamline your workflow. With a little setup, your Quest 3 can be a powerful on-the-go productivity tool. Next story. Story 12. From Meta Research Blog. Every tree counts. Hey, here's the gist of Meta Research's Every Tree Counts post. They're using AI to map forest canopy height tree by tree across massive areas like California and Sao Paulo. Why? To improve measurement, reporting and verification MRV of forest-based carbon removal projects. This high-resolution data, which they're making publicly available, can lower barriers for small landowners to participate in carbon markets, enabling more community-led projects. It also provides more reliable baselines and monitoring for nature-based carbon solutions. Ultimately, this improved mapping aims to accelerate the growth of high-quality carbon removal through forests, a critical component of Meta's net zero goals and the broader IPCC targets for limiting global warming. Think better data leading to better carbon offsets and scalable monitoring solutions, specifically for smaller distributed tree growth. Next story. Story 13. From Meta Research Blog. A new, unique AI dataset for animating amateur drawings. Meta AI has released a new, unique dataset specifically for animating amateur drawings, addressing a significant gap in AI training resources. This dataset contains nearly 180,000 annotated drawings collected from their animated drawings demo, which saw over 3 million users contribute. The key here is that training AI to understand and animate these kinds of drawings is tough because they're so diverse and differ significantly from real-world images. Synthetic data generation also falls short. This dataset is unique in its size and real-world sourcing, including imperfections like paper creases and shadows. It enables researchers to develop better tools for analyzing and augmenting amateur drawings, opening up possibilities for new digital experiences, like interactive storytelling. The release includes animation code, encouraging further innovation in the field. Next story. Story 14. From Hugging Face Blog. PRX Part 3. Training a text-to-image model in 24H. Hey for you camera pipeline folks. Hugging Face just dropped PRX Part 3, detailing how to train a text-to-image diffusion model in only 24 hours using 32H200 GPUs for about $1,500. The key? They're combining a bunch of architectural and training tricks from their earlier experiments. Specifically, they're using XPrediction to train directly in pixel space, avoiding a VAE and enabling the use of perceptual losses. They're starting training at 512px and fine-tuning to 1024px, managing sequence length with a bottleneck token projection layer. They're also adding LPIPS and DINOv2-based perceptual losses on top of the diffusion loss to boost convergence and image quality. The code's all open-sourced, so you can reproduce and adapt it. This represents a significant leap in efficiency, making high-quality text-to-image models far more accessible. Next story. Story 15. From Hugging Face Blog. One-shot any web app with Gradio's GRHTML. Gradio 6 quietly shipped a killer feature. Custom HTML components. Think any web app generated in a single Python file. LLMs like Claude can now handle front-end, back-end, and state management all at once. Imagine a Pomodoro timer with a pixel art tree that grows as you work or a drag-and-drop Kanban board. All built without separate front-end frameworks. The magic? GRHTML with custom templates, scoped CSS, and JavaScript interactivity. Python state injection via $value, JavaScript updates via props.value, and trigger, change, to sync back. For reusable components, subclass GRHTML. We're talking custom object detection viewers, 3D camera controls for image editing hooked directly into models like Qwen, and real-time speech transcription with live UI feedback, no React needed. This simplifies building specialized components for ML workflows within Gradio. Next story. Story 16. From Hugging Face Blog. Introducing SciGRA Studio. Hugging Face just dropped SciGRA Studio, a visual environment for synthetic data generation. Think drag-and-drop workflows instead of YAML files. It's built on SciGRA 2.0, so everything is still config-driven under the hood. Key features include guided model configuration for OpenAI, Azure, and others, plus easy connection to data sources like Hugging Face datasets, file systems, or even ServiceNow. The coolest part? Real-time feedback. You get inline variable hints, live execution streaming, and detailed logs for debugging. You can monitor token cost, latency, and guardrail outcomes. It's designed for end-to-end flow execution with instant result reviews. Studio also supports existing SciGRA workflows, so you can visually manage what's already built. Essentially, it brings transparency and accessibility to synthetic data pipeline creation. Next story. Story 17. From OpenAI blog. Arvind KC appointed chief people officer. Okay, so OpenAI just announced Arvind KC as their new chief people officer. Relevant for you, I think, is the potential shift this signals regarding OpenAI's internal priorities and maybe their approach to talent acquisition. They're obviously scaling and likely aiming to structure their organization for continued hypergrowth in a competitive AI landscape. KC's role will focus on fostering their company culture, attracting and retaining top-tier talent, engineers and researchers especially. Given your own engineering leadership role and interest in AI trends, it's worth keeping an eye on how OpenAI handles this organizational pivot and whether it influences hiring trends or compensation packages within the AI space, especially as it might relate to attracting talent skilled in areas like computer vision and hardware-aware AI development. Next story. Story 18. From OpenAI blog. OpenAI announces Frontier Alliance partners. Okay, so OpenAI just announced its Frontier Alliance program to provide early access to its cutting-edge AI models. Think of it as a VIP fast lane for select partners to experiment with unreleased capabilities. This could be relevant for R&D at Meta Reality Labs as it potentially allows access to advanced AI features applicable to AR devices, camera pipelines, or even new ISP tuning techniques. They're targeting organizations working on critical issues like climate change, healthcare, and education, so the focus is on societal impact. Essentially, it's a strategic move by OpenAI to get real-world feedback on their next-generation models before wider deployment, and to ensure the tech is used responsibly. Keep an eye on the program details, as it could present unique opportunities for advancing AI applications within your team's work. Next story. Story 19. From Google DeepMind blog. Gemini 3.1 flashlight, built for intelligence at scale. Google DeepMind just released Gemini 3.1 flashlight, their fastest and most cost-effective Gemini model yet. It's targeted towards developers building high-volume applications at scale. Now in preview on Google AI Studio and Vertex AI. Think of it as optimized for both speed and price. $0.25 per million input tokens and $1.50 per million output tokens. They are claiming it beats 2.5 Flash in both speed and quality benchmarks, even topping older, larger Gemini models on reasoning and multimodal tasks. Importantly, it allows developers to adjust the thinking level for different tasks, crucial for managing costs with high-frequency workloads. Example use cases include high-volume translation, content moderation, generating UIs, and running simulations. Early users are already leveraging it for its efficiency and ability to handle complex inputs. Next story. Story 20. From Google DeepMind blog. VO 3.1 ingredients to video. More consistency, creativity, and control. Hey there. Check out the latest from Google DeepMind VO 3.1. This is their AI video generation model, and the big news is better consistency and more control. Imagine taking a few reference images and turning them into expressive, dynamic short videos, now tailored for mobile. VO 3.1 nails character consistency across scenes so you can actually tell a story. Plus, background and object integrity is way improved, letting you control the scene much more precisely. The platform now supports native vertical video, perfect for YouTube Shorts, and offers upscaling to 1080p and 4K for higher fidelity. You can play with it through the Gemini app, YouTube, Flow, Google Vids, the Gemini API, and Vertex AI. Think richer dialogue, seamless blends of textures and objects, and overall, more lively movement in your AI-generated video. Definitely something to watch for camera pipelines and AR content creation. Next story. Story 21. From Google DeepMind blog. Gemini 3 Flash. Frontier intelligence built for speed. Google DeepMind just dropped Gemini 3 Flash, their latest AI model emphasizing speed and efficiency. It's built for developers and everyday users, accessible through the Gemini app, AI mode in Search, Google AI Studio, Antigravity, and Vertex AI. Gemini 3 Flash balances speed and intelligence, delivering frontier-level performance on reasoning and knowledge benchmarks, rivaling bigger models and outperforming Gemini 2.5 Pro. It also achieves impressive scores on multimodal benchmarks. Think prograde reasoning at flash speed and lower cost. It's optimized for coding, complex analysis, and quick answers in interactive apps. It also uses fewer tokens than previous models to handle everyday tasks. DeepMind is processing a trillion tokens per day on its API. Next story. Story 22. From Import AI. Import AI 441. My agents are working. Are yours? Hey, so Import AI's latest issue dives into the experience of using AI agents for personal productivity. The author, Jack Clark, describes delegating research tasks to AI agents, things like analyzing research papers and market trends. The key takeaway is that these agents are massively scaling individual capabilities, completing weeks of work in a fraction of the time. He feels guilt when not leveraging them, even during family time. The article highlights the ongoing shift in how knowledge workers will manage their time and workflow, learning to orchestrate fleets of AI minds to maximize output. They are watching the AI trends to see how they can leverage AI. He sets his agents to work even when sleeping and walking. The potential is immense, and it sounds like a big competitive advantage will go to those who adapt and integrate these agents effectively. Next story. Story 23. From Import AI. Import AI 439. AI kernels. Decentralized training and universal representations. Hey, so Import AI highlights Facebook's Kernel Evolve, an AI-driven system for automating kernel design. Think LLMs like GPT, Claude, and Llama writing code to optimize other AI models. Kernel Evolve significantly speeds up kernel development, cutting the time from weeks to hours. It's also yielding kernels comparable to hand-designed ones, even achieving up to a 17x performance boost on Meta's MTIA chips, especially for things like LLM inference, CONV nets, and data preprocessing. It even aced kernel bench. The impact is huge at Facebook scale because minor kernel improvements mean major cost reductions and user engagement boosts. This system continuously optimizes kernels for tons of models and billions of users. Essentially, it's a self-refining system constantly improving the efficiency of their AI infrastructure. That's your Clawcast briefing. Have a good commute.